Today is the 17th day of September. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I am Brian, and I am grateful to be here with you today. Another day, another step, part of a rhythm that carries us through every day of a year, but part of a rhythm that establishes a relationship with the scriptures. Something that is ongoing every day around here. Grateful for that. Grateful for the alive nature of the scriptures. How they land where they need to land when they need to land. And a lot of times that's not comfortable. A lot of times they land in ways that are challenging. But if we are open, if actual maturity, if actual growth, if wholeness truly is a goal, as opposed to figuring out better ways to hide and curate and manipulate, if actual freedom to be who we were created to be in life, regardless of anyone's thoughts or opinions, if that really is what we seek, that kind of freedom. Freedom not as compared to anybody else. The scriptures certainly do inform the path. So I am grateful to be here with you today on that path as we take the next step forward. We are working our way through the book of Isaiah at this point. And today, Isaiah chapter 25, verse 1 through 28, verse 13. Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have accomplished wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. For you have turned the city into a pile of rocks, a fortified city into ruins. The fortress of barbarians is no longer a city. It will never be rebuilt. Therefore, a strong people will honor you. The cities of violent nations will fear you. For you have been a stronghold for the poor person, a stronghold for the needy in his distress, a refuge from storms and a shade from heat. When the breath of the violent is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry land, you will subdue the uproar of barbarians. As the shade of a cloud cools the heat of the day, so he will silence the song of the violent. On this mountain, the Lord of armies will prepare for all the people a feast of choice meat, a feast with aged wine, prime cuts of choice meat, fine vintage wine. On this mountain, he will swallow up the burial shroud, the shroud over all the peoples, the sheet covering all the nations. When he has swallowed up death once and for all, the Lord God will wipe away the tears from every face and remove his people's disgrace from the whole earth, for the Lord has spoken. On that day, it will be said, "Look, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he has saved us. This is the Lord, we have waited for him. Let's rejoice and be glad in his salvation. For the Lord's power will rest on this mountain. But Moab will be trampled in his place, as straw is trampled in a dung pile. He will spread out his arms in the middle of it, as a swimmer spreads out his arms to swim. His pride will be brought low, along with the trickery of his hands. The high-walled fortress will be brought down, thrown to the ground, to the dust. On that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation is established as walls and ramparts. Open the gates so a righteous nation can come in, one that remains faithful. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Trust in the Lord forever, because in the Lord himself is an everlasting rock. For he has humbled those who live in lofty places, an inaccessible city. He brings it down to the ground. He throws it to the dust. Feet trample it, the feet of the humble, the steps of the poor. The path of the righteous is level. You clear a straight path for the righteous. Yes, Lord, we wait for you in the path of your judgments. Our desire is for your name and renown. I long for you in the night. Yes, my spirit within me diligently seeks you. For when your judgments are in the land, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. But if the wicked man is shown favor, he does not learn righteousness. In a righteous land, he acts unjustly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. Lord, your hand is lifted up to take action, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be put to shame. Let fire consume your adversaries. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our work for us. Lord, our God, lords other than you have owned us, but we remember your name alone. The dead do not live. Departed spirits do not rise up. Indeed, you have punished and destroyed them. You have wiped out all memory of them. You have added to the nation, Lord. You have added to the nation. You are honored. You have expanded all the borders of the land. Lord, they went to you in their distress. They poured out whispered prayers because your discipline fell on them. As a pregnant woman about to give birth writhes and cries out in her pains, so we were before you, Lord. We became pregnant. We writhed in pain. We gave birth to wind. We have won no victories on earth, and the earth's inhabitants have not fallen. Your dead will live. Their bodies will rise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in the dust. For you will be covered with the morning dew, and the earth will bring out the departed spirits. Go, my people, enter your rooms and close your doors behind you. Hide for a little while until the wrath is past. For look, the Lord is coming from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will reveal the blood shed on it, and will no longer conceal her slain. On that day, the Lord, with his relentless, large, strong sword, will bring judgment on Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent. He will slay the monster that is in the sea. On that day, sing about a desirable vineyard. I am the Lord who watches over it to water it regularly, so that no one disturbs it. I watch over it night and day. I am not angry. If only there were thorns and briars for me to battle, I would trample them and burn them to the ground. or let it take hold of my strength. Let it make peace with me. Make peace with me. In days to come, Jacob will take root. Israel will blossom and bloom and fill the whole world with fruits. Did the Lord strike Israel as he struck the one who struck Israel? Was Israel killed like those killed by the Lord? You disputed with Israel by banishing and driving her away. He removed her with his severe storm on the day of the east wind. Therefore, Jacob's iniquity will be atoned for in this way, and the result of the removal of his sin will be this. When he makes all the altar stones like crushed bits of chalk, no Asherah poles or incense altars will remain standing. For the fortified city will be desolate, pastures deserted and abandoned like a wilderness. Calves will graze there, and there they will spread out and strip its branches. When its branches dry out, they will be broken off. Women will come and make fires with them, for they are not a people with understanding. Therefore their Maker will not have compassion on them, and their Creator will not be gracious to them. On that day, the Lord will thresh grain from the Euphrates River as far as the Wadi of Egypt. And you Israelites will be gathered one by one. On that day, a great ram's horn will be blown, and those lost in the land of Assyria will come, as well as those dispersed in the land of Egypt. And they will worship the Lord at Jerusalem on the holy mountain. Woe to the majestic crown of Ephraim's drunkards, and to the fading flower of its beautiful splendor, which is on the summit above the rich valley. Woe to those who overcome with wine. Look, the Lord has a strong and mighty one, like a devastating hailstorm, like a storm with strong flooding water. He will bring it across the land with his hand. The majestic crown of Ephraim's drunkards will be trampled underfoot. The fading flower of his beautiful splendor, which is on the summit above the rich valley, will be like a ripe fig before the summer harvest. Whoever sees it will swallow it while it is still in his hand. On that day, the Lord of armies will become a crown of beauty and a diadem of splendor to the remnant of his people, a spirit of justice to the one who sits in judgment, and strength to those who repel attacks at the city gates. Even these stagger because of wine and stumble under the influence of beer. Priest and prophet stagger because of beer. They are confused by wine. They stumble because of beer. They are muddled in their visions. They stumble in their judgments. Indeed, all their tables are covered with vomit. There is no place without a stench. Who is he trying to teach? Who is he trying to instruct? Infants just weaned from milk? Babies removed from the breast? Law after law. Law after law. Line after line. Line after line. A little here, a little there. For he will speak to this people with stammering speech and in a foreign language. He had said to them, "This is the place of rest. Let the weary rest. This is the place of repose." But they would not listen. The word of the Lord will come to them. Law after law. Law after law. Line after line. Line after line, a little here, a little there. So they go stumbling backward, to be broken, trapped, and captured. Galatians 3, 10 through 22. For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse, because it is written, everyone who does not do everything written in the book of the law is cursed. Now it is clear that no one is justified before God by the law, because the righteous will live by faith. But the law is not based on faith. Instead, the one who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. The purpose was that the blessing of Abraham would come to the Gentiles by Christ Jesus, so that we could receive the promised Spirit through faith. Brothers and sisters, I'm using a human illustration. No one sets aside or makes additions to a validated human will. Now, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. He does not say "and to seeds" as though referring to many, but referring to one, and to your seed, who is Christ. My point is this: the law, which came 430 years later, does not invalidate a covenant previously established by God, and thus cancel the promise. For if the inheritance is based on the law, it is no longer based on the promise. But God has graciously given it to Abraham through the promise. Why then was the law given? It was added for the sake of transgressions, until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. The law was put into effect through angels by means of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not just for one person alone, but God is one. Is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? Absolutely not. For if the law had been granted with the ability to give life, then righteousness would certainly be on the basis of the law. But the scripture imprisoned everything under sin's power, so that the promise might be given on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ to those who believe. Psalm 61. Security in God. For the choir director on stringed instruments of David. God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call to you from the ends of the earth when my heart is without strength. Lead me to a rock that is high above me, for you have been a refuge for me, a strong tower in the face of the enemy. I will dwell in your tent forever and take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Selah. God, you have heard my vows. You have given a heritage to those who fear your name. Add days to the king's life. May his years span many generations. May he sit enthroned before God forever. Appoint faithful love and truth to guard him. then I will continually sing of your name, fulfilling my vows day by day. Proverbs 23:17-18. Don't let your heart envy sinners. Instead, always fear the Lord, for then you will have a future, and your hope will not be dashed. Okay, if we could sum up Paul's theology, his teaching, if it could all be in a nutshell, there are a couple of verses in Galatians today that pretty well put it together. And I quote, "Christ has rescued us from the curse pronounced by the law. When he was hung on the cross, he took upon himself the curse for our wrongdoing. For it is written in the scriptures, 'Cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.' Through Christ Jesus, God has blessed the Gentiles with the same blessing he promised to Abraham, so that we who are believers might receive the promised Holy Spirit through faith." That pretty much outlines what we would theologically call the doctrine of the justification through faith. And since Paul died for his convictions, we know that he must have fully believed that Jesus had given him this revelation personally. He died for it. And because we know Paul was obviously a Pharisee, so very devoutly trained in Mosaic law, we can pull together the spiritual disruption this revelation from Jesus would have brought into his personal life. Like, this is an absolute paradigm shift. We've talked about this before. What would it take? Like, what kind of revelation and truth would it take for you to even nuance your understanding, but to radically shift your understanding of God and faith would take an incredible amount of disruption on so many different levels. And so we have to appreciate what Paul actually had to go through in his own personal transformation way before he ever became this controversial person in the early days of the church, long before he was ever branded a heretic and an apostate. Paul's time, his experience with Jesus, flew in the face of everything that he was told about God and everything he thought he knew about God, and flew in the face of all of his theological training. So following Jesus forced Paul to go back through the entire story of the Hebrew people. Like, he had to dismantle, right? Like, he had to reframe, he had to deconstruct everything about what he thought that he knew, even what he thought that he knew about his own origin story, his own ethnic story of the Hebrew people. And it forced him to deeply consider Moses, which is something that he was trained in, the Mosaic law, and Moses' legacy as it related to the Hebrew people at his time, while coming to his own understanding, his own reframing of what the law meant and represented. So Moses was the man that God chose to lead his people out of Egyptian slavery, and we know that, we've read that story. And it was through Moses that God did give the Mosaic Law. Paul had to look into the story that happened long before Moses was ever even thought of, much less living, to find the answers that he was looking for. He had to tear everything down to the bedrock and go back to the very beginning, which brought him to Abraham, where God's relationship with his people and the promise of these people even coming into existence began. God made a promise that a people would be raised up through Abraham, and through that people, all the nations of the world would be blessed. For Paul, that meant what it said, all the nations of the world. And so for Paul, that explicitly includes non-Hebrew people. It explicitly includes the Gentiles. And he realized that the whole story of the Hebrew people and this promise began with a promise, not a law, which is massive, a huge reframe for Paul, a huge reframe for anybody understanding what Paul is teaching. Abraham believed the promise through faith, and God considered him righteous because of it, not because he obeyed a law, but because he trusted God and put his faith in what God promised. When the promise was made, there was no law. In fact, Paul lays it out today. That law didn't come for 430 more years. So this whole story was going on 430 years before there ever was a law. So following along with that rationale, the law couldn't be the means that would lead a person to become right with God. It couldn't be the vehicle by which righteousness could be made, because Abraham and everybody who believed the promise after Abraham, including Moses, didn't have a law to obey in the first place. So what Paul was teaching, it sounds profoundly heretical in his time, even to the point of blasphemy. And he has a bounty. Like they are trying to find a way to kill him. But he was simply trying to tell the Hebrews their own story, like inviting them back to the scriptures to read their own story, and then placing Jesus in the story. So as we end up in Galatians today, Paul summarizes everything by saying, is there a conflict between God's law and God's promise? No, he says, absolutely there's not. If the law could give us new life, then we could be made right with God by obeying it. But the scriptures say that we are all prisoners of sin. So we receive God's promise of freedom only by believing in Jesus. That is how we arrive at the doctrine of justification through faith that has been passed down ever since through the generations. That is a core doctrine, a core understanding, a foundational and fundamental belief in the Christian faith. This is how we get there. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to just look at and understand not only what Paul needed to go through in transformation, and to see that there's permission for that, that we can wrestle with a lot of things and invite your Holy Spirit to transform us and to shake us. Paul had to fundamentally shift his understanding. And so, Holy Spirit, come and fundamentally shift our understanding and everything that we think that we know, so that we might truly know you in all of your glory. And we thank you that we can hold on to the promise, a promise of new life that comes by us believing. And when we do believe, that faith in action changes how we do everything. It changes our behavior fundamentally because we believe the promise and have fallen in love with you as you have fallen in love with us. And so we begin to naturally obey what is right and know and do what is correct. We thank you for this opportunity to have this understanding at all. Holy Spirit, make this our reality. Help it be ever present in our minds, that we might continually, day by day, step by step, grow, be transformed, participate in the process of sanctification. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app. These are home base. This is where to get connected. Find out where to be connected. Find out what's going on around here and take the journey together. Keep track of the journey. Take notes on the journey. All kinds of stuff. So be familiar and get connected. 2 weeks ago today, we released a new book. Our first ever children's book. And we've been talking about it most every day. It's called The Breathing Prayer. And it is straight out of our family, straight out of Ezekiel, our son's life, when he was a little bit younger. And it is a beautifully illustrated tool. Just a little tiny reminder, a little tool to ground ourselves in the chaos of being emotionally overwhelmed with anxiety or depression or any emotion that becomes overwhelming to us. So that is available as part of our 20th year celebration. It was 1 week ago that we were live on all the different platforms and shared about that. That was a lot of fun. So if you haven't had a chance yet, check out The Breathing Prayer, a little prayer for big feelings. Also reminding you, as part of our 20th year anniversary, the Wind Farm Southern Pecan 20th Anniversary Reserve. We still have that. Enjoying that. Enjoying that most every day. Loving it, actually, and have loved the feedback on it. And yeah, and then there's some music that we've released for the 20th anniversary as well. Just look for Jill Harden or Brian Harden or Ezekiel Harden, and you'll find that wherever it is that you stream or listen to music. And thanks just for being on the journey and part of the celebration that we've made it this far, and are looking forward to all the places that we'll go next. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the Global Campfire is a meaningful place, if it's a space that's safe and predictable in your life and solid and brings community and this awareness that brothers and sisters are all over the world going through this together with us, thank you for your partnership. Deeply, humbly. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner or the mailing address, is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that is it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hello, Daily Audio Bible. This is Joyful in Virginia, and I'm just calling to ask for prayer because I feel led to do that. Just a little back on this is for about the last month or so, I've been getting an increasing pain, and I'm pretty sure it's from perimenopause. And so I just felt God say, you need to ask for prayer at church and whatever. And so I was planning that, and then I had felt distinctly like he said to do more than one person. And so then I was like, well, I wonder how. And then God pops up. Well, how well do you want to get healed? And I'm like, all the way? So I'm calling out to my DAB family. Would you pray for healing of all the pain in my body? It's not just the stuff that's from menopause, but other issues. And I just need God's touch all over. And I do believe he's got something good planned for me. And I love y'all. I miss y'all. Just hello to each and every one of you. Susan from Canada and Rebecca are just two that are on my heart a lot. Anyways, hope y'all are doing good, and hope to catch up with y'all soon.
Hello, this is Amy calling from Troutdale, Oregon, and wanted to lift up our sweet, sweet sister, Joyful in Virginia. Oh, sister, I just love you. Thank you for calling in for prayer. Let's get on our knees for our sister. Dear Heavenly Father, I come before you today thankful that we have a direct line to you, God, that your son Jesus died so we could have a direct connection with you, Lord. Thank you so much for him. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your goodness and your glory, and we praise you for all of that. Lord, we come before you today on behalf of our sister, Joyful in Virginia. And God, she needs a breakthrough. She needs a breakthrough with her health. She's hurting. She's tired. And Lord, I just pray that you would step into her heart, mind, soul, story, her body, and allow her to make choices toward good health for herself, Lord. God, that's a tough one because we all have to eat, right? And so when there's anything that's negative associated with food, that makes it even harder because we need it to survive. Lord, would you just help her to make wise choices? Would you give her the wisdom and the knowledge that she needs maybe to come up with a different plan of how she decides what she's going to eat? That you would help her say no to herself when she needs to. And just give her wisdom, Lord, on how to get better sleep. Whether it's a doctor or somebody in her life that can give her this this information that she maybe doesn't have. I pray that she would get this information and that she would be able to implement, give her the strength to implement a new plan for better health for her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, DAB family. It's been a little while since I called in asking for prayers. But I really need some prayers right now. Just about a week ago or so, I ended up going back to a behavior that I was redeemed from, and I'm really struggling with feelings of shame. I know shame is not of God, but I'm really struggling. I could really use some prayers. Could you please pray for deliverance from self-harm and suicidal ideation? 'Cause I've been really struggling with that. I was in the hospital for about a week for it. Thanks, DAB family. I love you guys. Bye.
Hello, my DAB family. This is Jamie in New Jersey, standing on the Word of God. I humbly ask you to please pray with me. Dear Father in Heaven, thank you for the grace to become heavenly minded. Thank you for being a good Father and wanting the best for us. Help us to trust your hand at work, even when we can't see it. As the world grows dark around us, help us be lights for Christ and messengers of hope to the lost. Help us to trust your plan today. You know far better than us how this will end. Help us to shift our perspective when we become overwhelmed with our responsibilities here, or when we are tempted to become entangled in worldly pursuits. Thank you for shifting our perspective, and help us to keep our eyes on you and not on our situations. We trust you today and always. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for praying along with me, my brothers and sisters. I love each and every one of you. Have a good night.
Hello, my Daily Audio Bible family. I am calling for prayer today. I'm a longtime listener. I actually started listening when Ezekiel was born, so that's an easy way for me to remember my timeline with you. I pray with each one of you as you call in, but I really need some prayer. I feel completely chained and trapped by depression. I've been in bed all week. I haven't gotten out of bed. I've slept the whole time, and I really need your help. God has been with me all my life, and he's actually healed me twice, which I've been meaning to call in and share with you as encouragement. But right now, I really need your encouragement. I'm in a pit and I can't get out, but I know God can help me and your prayers will help me. Thank you. I'm too ashamed to identify myself. I'll call in with Victory and then let you know how I'm doing. Thank you very much.
Good morning. This is Boyce, the bass player in Northern Nevada. And I just heard the prayer request of Maranatha Matt, asking us to lift him and his wife up in prayer for their unborn baby. So, Father, we come before your throne of grace. We ask that you would make a difference, that you would do what only you can do, because all of the prognosis of the doctor is that the baby will not survive, and yet Matt's wife will have to carry this baby for maybe another 6 weeks prior to the baby passing, and that is just hard to understand. Only you can make a difference in this situation, Father. Only you can make a difference, Jesus. We ask that you would bring your power to this situation, and that we would hear Maranatha Matt with a something that gives us hope, that you were absolutely involved and making a difference in this and creating good out of what is not good. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.